Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic to the program. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
We are doing wonderful. Adam, I want to start with a wonderful piece that you came out with yesterday at TheAthletic.com. And a conversation you had with Matthias Ekholm, of course, a lot of which was spent talking about the trade rumors that are out there and how he goes about responding to this. You can check that out on the game, at theathletic.com. Adam, what was your big takeaway from that piece on Matthias Ekholm, who, as always, was about as honest and as open as it gets in that locker room?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You know, the reason why we enjoy talking to Matthias Ekholm so much is that he's incredibly perspective, he's incredibly honest, and he is aware of what's going on. He knows the team is struggling. He knows his name is out there in trade rumors, and not just out there, but like at the top of the list of players who might be coveted at the trade deadline. And we talked on Monday afternoon, and as always, Matthias, told it like it is. He understands that, you know, his 10-year career with the organization might be coming to an end in the next month. Of course, he would rather stay. He made sure to mention that he has not asked to be traded, though I don't think any of us thought that that was the case, but he just wanted to make that clear. But, you know, I think he understands what the situation is, and, you know, the hardest part for him would be not just, of course, leaving the only team he's known, but he has a young family at home. He and his wife, Ida, just had a baby girl who just turned 1 month old, and they have a 3-year-old son, William. And, you know, especially in this time of COVID-19 and all of the protocols, not just in the league, but in terms of traveling in general, you know, it would be very difficult for them to move. And Matthias might have to be away from his family for an indefinite period of time. And, you know, that would be incredibly hard. But he is prepared for anything. So if he were to be traded in the next month, he would not be shocked by it, though, of course, his preference would be to stay.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that separation. I mean, that's already happened with them, and not just them, but obviously in the past year, there's been a lot of, you know, families being separated from each other, especially in professional sports. You know, one of my big takeaways, Adam, was definitely like, man, if Matthias Ekholm gets traded, what are we going to do in the media? you know, he's been, you know, a go-to, and it's hard to find people who are that frank. And, you know, I think he's also a guy who has spoken kind of honestly and I think accurately about this team too, through ups and downs over the years. I don't know if bristled's the right word. I was a little bit taken aback when he's talking about this team being better than like that 16-17 team. What did you think about that? Am I overthinking it?
Well, I understand what you're saying. You know, for those who haven't read the article yet, which I suggest you do, by the way, you know, I asked Matthias if he could put a finger on why this team has fallen off so dramatically over the past couple of years. And he could not pinpoint a specific reason. Excuse me, but he said that he feels that on paper, this team, this current team, is more talented than the team that went to the Stanley Cup. And I think just based on pure talent alone, I think you can make that argument. I know that a lot of the players have been disappointing, but when you stack up this team versus that team, perhaps when they started the postseason when everybody was healthy, versus this team when it's healthy, I would give the edge to this team. I understand what you're saying. I mean, I didn't have that same reaction, and I can understand why you would. But, you know, I do think this team is very talented, and that's why, you know, in terms of pure talent, I do believe it is a talented team. They just haven't been able to put it together, and that's why I think they need to go in a different direction. But, yeah, I mean, we all have fond memories of that 2016-17 team, but they weren't a great team either. You know, they needed to make the playoffs. I think they qualified for the playoffs in like the 79th or 80th game of the season. And of course, we know what happened during the spring and summer. But that's why I think this this drop-off has been so hard to comprehend is because this team should be more talented, but isn't.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, another guy that's been talked about a lot, especially this week, has been Philip Forsberg when it comes to trade rumors. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. David Poyle was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and addressed it, essentially saying, you don't want to close yourself off as a barrier and just say people are untouchable, but does not anticipate that Philip Forsberg is going to be moved anytime soon. When you look at the pros and cons of trading Philip Forsberg, if you're the Predators, what stands out to you and how much consideration would you actually give that if you're David Poyle and the Predators?
Well, the cons is, can you imagine where this team would be without Philip Forsberg?
It'd be rough.
Just think about that. That's the con. Imagine where this team, which has been besieged by injury and is struggling in general, would be without Philip Forsberg. They would be in the tank. So that's the con. The other con, of course, is that Philip Forsberg, he's in his prime. He's the type of player that you can – he's a foundational player. If you are starting a rebuild and you're going to be moving on from some core players, he is a player who you can put front and center and build around and win a championship. Or not, excuse me, at least challenge for a championship eventually. I wanted to make sure I had all of my bases covered when I said that. The pros, there are two things that come to mind. One, you have to be certain that Philip Forsberg is interested in re-signing. If I am him, I'm 26, I'm in the prime of my career, I'm playing really well. Do I want to sign a 7 or 8 year contract to be part of a rebuild where maybe half of those 7 to 8 years we're not competing for a championship? I'm not sure about that. The other thing is that you also have to consider the contract from the Predator standpoint. Philip Forsberg to me could easily fetch a $9 million cap hit based on comparable contracts in the Predators cap situation right now, because he's the most valuable player on the team, in my opinion, at least right now. So he could easily command such a salary, and you might not have the stomach to deal with that, considering all of the long-term expensive contracts that have been signed and how those contracts have worked out, those that are on the team and those that are no longer with the team, specifically Kyle Turris. So when you think about that, you think about the fact that he's under contract for this year, he's under contract for next year. So a team trading for Philip Forsberg would get him at $6 million for all of next season. That's very attractive. I think you could get a truckload of future assets for Philip Forsberg. I think you could get multiple high draft picks and solid prospects for a player like Philip Forsberg. So while certainly Philip is a player you could build around, he could also kickstart a rebuild by filling your cupboard, so to speak, with high quality prospects and picks.
How often do you think in this league, Adam, it comes about where, like a GM, a front office, gets a feeling for something like that well before it's actually time to talk about it from a player or his agent?
Yeah, that's a good question. My understanding is that there haven't been any significant contract negotiations between Philip Forsberg and the Predators, though my understanding is that, that is not unusual for a player at this point that has another year left on his contract. I think those conversations might be had more significantly in the off season when that deadline arrives for them when they can re-sign them, which will be later this summer. I think the Predators would need to have at least an assumption of what's going to happen. But like I said, without Philip Forsberg, I think you said this yesterday, Joe, that would signal a clear, blow it up type rebuild. We'll see if the Predators have the stomach for it.
Right. And that last question goes with the question of what's the difference in the return, because
exactly.
If it's that big of a difference, then, it's worth it to try anyway to find out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think there is no harm in listening to offers for Philip Forsberg right now, which is what David Poyle, I think, alluded to in that conversation with Darren Donick and Chase. Doesn't mean you have to do anything, but to get a sense of what he could be worth, if a team is willing to sell the farm for a player like Philip Forsberg, you might have to consider it. The Predators, I don't think, anticipated trading Shea Weber until P.K. Subban was available. You know, so those are the kinds of things that you have to consider.
Adam, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Predators are going through the ringer right now in terms of injuries. Roman Josi out week to week, Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchene, and Juuse Saros. The list goes on and on. Fabbro with a hit last night in the Carolina game on Brock McGinn, and he'll be having a hearing later today. What did you think of the hit, and what do you think the discipline could look like for Dante Fabbro?
It was bad, and I'm surprised it only got a minor penalty in the game. I mean, the head appeared to be the principal point of contact. He left his skates to deliver the hit, which are two things that the Department of Player Safety looks at when determining discipline for these sorts of things. I mean, it's probably going to be at least a couple games, right? You know, maybe yeah. Two. So we'll find out later today because he does have a hearing, as you mentioned. Very rarely do players have hearings and not get disciplined. So it's going to be Matthias Ekholm and the Ekholmettes on the defensive end for the next couple of games, I think. And, you know, that penalty swung the game, in my opinion, because the Carolina Hurricanes, that started their prolonged power play time, and they were able to tie the game. You know, I think that game ends up a lot differently if Dante Fabbro doesn't make that hit. So that is punishment enough, I feel like, but he's also going to get suspended for at least a game or two by the league.
Adam Midgen from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rec Show. Adam, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us, my friend.
All right, guys. Be good. Thanks.
Absolutely. You as well. You can check out Adam's work at theathletic.com. A great piece coming out yesterday on a conversation with Matthias Ekholm that you'll want to check out. When we come back, we'll continue that discussion, break down that piece with Ekholm, talk about what the future of the Predators could look like, and also the future of the NHL as well. Some good news yesterday in the broadcasting side of things. We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.